It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Time is running out for homeowners to qualify for tax credits for solar panel installation. The residential solar tax credit was originally supposed to last over a decade.
But this summer, the budget bill signed into law by President Trump ends the credits early at the end of this year. Another clean energy tax credit for electric vehicles has already expired.
What does this mean for clean energy in Wisconsin homes and businesses? In just a bit, we'll meet a solar panel installer here in the state. First, Kathy Kuntz joins us, director of Dane County's Office of Energy and Climate Change. Kathy, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Before we get into some of these changes from the federal level that people need to watch out for, can you give us a quick sense of what you do at Dane County's Office of Energy and Climate Change?
Yeah, our office, which is inside the county exec's office, is really a catalyst for climate action, both within county government and countywide. So when the tax credits went into effect under the Inflation Reduction Act, we really leaned into these opportunities and tried to make it simple for individuals and businesses to take advantage of the credits. It's a good example of the kinds of things we do.
Now, those credits, of course, are changing, many of them expiring. One already gone was the electric vehicle tax credit that wrapped up at the end of last month. Is that one of those things you were reaching out to people, to communities and saying, hey, we can work with you on getting those federal credits?
Yeah, definitely. And as soon as we knew that those credits were ending, we were trying to make sure that people knew when they were ending so that if they intended to take advantage of them, they did that before the credits expired. And what we know about the EV credit is a lot of people took advantage of it. I mean, EV sales in the third quarter broke all records in the U.S. About 1 in 10 vehicles sold last quarter was an electric vehicle. So people were rushing to get their EVs before that tax credit went away.
Now, we're in a similar situation now with the residential solar tax credit. We'll talk to our next guest about that as well. What are you seeing? Are you seeing people trying to make that similar rush to get solar on their rooftops before that credit expires?
Yeah, we are seeing that there is a rush. And I think it's there's a difference between buying a car and getting solar on your roof. You can go to a dealership and buy a car in a couple of hours. It takes more planning to have all of the pieces in place, the permits and everything, to install solar on your house. So if people haven't started that process, it's probably not realistic for them to take advantage of the solar credits at this point. In fact, so one of the things our office is saying about the solar credits right now is if an installer is telling you no problem, they can get this done by the end of the year, you need to be a smart consumer and ask a lot of questions, because most of the installers we're talking to are booked through the end of the year just because there are permits to pull and all kinds of things before that happens. Whereas with EVs, it was a little bit simpler.
So if people are already in process, right, they've already been filling out the applications and things like that for their home solar, that could still well happen by the deadline, right?
Right, right. Yes, certainly.
Solar has been around since before those federal tax credits. Do you still see it as an economical option for residents in your county to consider solar maybe next year, even knowing, hey, that credit is not going to be on the table anymore?
Definitely. And so the thing I would say about this, and this is true about electric vehicles too, that the cost of these technologies has been coming down. So we first installed solar at our house back in 2008, and the prices for solar modules now are about a tenth. So the price has gone down about 90% since 2008. It is a much better deal than it was in 2008, with or without the credits. And similarly with EVs, they are becoming a lot more cost competitive all the time. So even without the credit, lots of people are going to think this is the right choice for me. So I think we're going to see those markets maybe move a little bit more slowly for a couple of months as people adjust to this change. But solar remains the cheapest way to provide electricity to your house.
Now, this is residential we've been talking about. How about the commercial field? What is out there for people wanting to say, hey, I own this building, my office building or what have you, and I'm putting solar up? Are there still credits available? What kind of help is available for people in that situation?
Yeah, so on the commercial side, the solar credits will not end at the end of this year, but the rules around those credits become more complicated. So there are new rules about what's called foreign entities of concern are part of your system made in a place that the United States has deemed an entity of concern. And so really what that's going to mean for businesses is they need to talk to installers and make sure that they have an installer who understands the new rules and can meet those requirements with them, sort of thing. So again, we've got a bunch of information about that on our website, like linking people to all the guidance that's available and the new guidance as it comes out. But it's a little bit more complicated on the commercial side because the rules are changing as of the end of the year.
For a residential consumer or commercial consumer who says, gosh, solar sounds good to me, but this all sounds confusing, can they literally just call your office up and get some navigation to help answer some of those questions?
They can, Rob. And, you know, the other thing is there are good resources here in Dane County. We have a program called Madison, S-U-N, that is a City of Madison program, but we at the county support that program so it's available to everyone in the county. That can help people understand, is my roof a good place for solar? What could I expect? And, you know, it's not talking to an individual installer, it's talking to someone whose job it is to just sort of help you navigate this. One of the things I often say is all of us have friends or neighbors who can recommend, say, a plumber to us, because everyone's used a plumber at their house. But many folks don't know anyone who's ever installed solar. And so a program like Madison can help those folks navigate the territory a little bit and understand how to get started and what kinds of questions to ask and all of that.
Solar is just one option when it comes to conserving energy, lowering carbon footprint. Energy efficiency is another big one. Is that something your office helps people, residential,
yes,
commercial, with?
Yeah, and here again, there were tax credits for energy efficiency projects that are also ending at the end of the year. The good news there, though, is so in the Inflation Reduction Act, there were all these tax credits that were immediately available. And then every state also got an allocation to do additional energy efficiency and electrification programs for residential customers. And this money is available for renters as well as homeowners. And Wisconsin got about $150 million. We were one of the first states to stand up those programs. And so, while our tax credits are ending for energy efficiency and electrification, we still have these new, and they're often instant rebates for some of that work that is ongoing. And that's all of the information about that is on the Focus on Energy website, focusonenergy.com. So there are opportunities there. Unfortunately, there is not a parallel thing there. There had long been a tax deduction for businesses that did energy efficiency improvements, and that deduction went away in the budget bill this summer. And so for businesses, there is not an incentive from the federal level for energy efficiency right now, unfortunately. They can still participate often in the Focus on Energy regular program, but there's just not additional funding for them at this point.
Kathy, as we wrap up, these credits are expiring, these tax credits for alternative energy and for energy conservation. Just a different tone, of course, from the federal government when it comes to support for alternative energy and efforts to combat climate change. People might hear all that and think, well, that moment's passed. there's really nothing going on this front anymore. What would you say, no, this is still a live issue, there's still things we can do?
So I think part of it is talking to people who've done these things. So you know, when you survey people who buy electric vehicles, most of them say they would never go back to a gas car. That's not because they necessarily got a tax credit. It's because electric vehicles perform in a superior way. Similarly, when you have solar on your roof, it's just kind of amazing that the sun is producing part of the power you use in your house every day. There are satisfactions here and cost savings that go on and on for decades, kind of thing. And so I think in some ways, the abrupt end to the tax credits create a challenge for all of these clean fuel industries. But like the momentum is behind, I mean, solar is the cheapest form of power we have today. EVs are cost competitive with gas cars, and batteries keep getting cheaper. So, you know, I feel like, yes, there's some challenges here in the near term, but in the long run, these are the technologies we're going to embrace because they're better technologies.
Kathy, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Kathy Kuntz directs Dane County's Office of Energy and Climate Change. Next, we check in with one of Wisconsin's solar installation companies. Burke O'Neill is managing partner of Full Spectrum Solar based in Madison, joining us from his office. Burke, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
As we just heard, this residential solar tax credit expiring at the end of the year. What is that looking like from your perspective as an installer?
Well, it's certainly been a bit challenging to change course. We're expecting the residential and the commercial tax credits through 2032. So last year we were planning an additional vehicle and tool purchases and adding electrical and roof installation crews. And we're still planning to grow, but it's going to be at a slower pace than we expected for sure.
Have you seen people rushing to get a project on the books and creditable by the end of this year?
Yes. Between June and, say, September, we saw maybe a doubling or tripling of the phone calls that we got for people looking to get an installation by the end of the year. And we were completely full probably about the middle of September with projects for this year. One thing we did is we offered a 5% discount if people were willing to do their project next year to just try to keep the momentum going. And we were really happy to see that a good portion of people decided to do a project anyway. I think we're lucky to be in an area where our customers believe in this technology and feel it's something positive they can do even without the tax credit.
What's the timeline if somebody says, okay, yeah, I want to do solar at my home, and I'm calling you up, Burke, from that call to, hey, I've got electricity coming in for these things. What are the steps to get there?
Well, I think normally we'd be able to complete everything and have a fully operational system within a couple months. I think we were in a position where, you know, we could have tried to bring on extra people and train them, but for just a few months of work, it didn't make sense. Normally, we're applying with the utility for an interconnection agreement. That can take some time and some back and forth to make sure all the paperwork and the drawings are complete. We also pull a building permit because we are changing the way that a roof loads, and we're pulling an electrical permit because we're interconnecting this electrical system into the existing electrical panel at the customer's house. And that can, you know, take some time to put together those drawings and fill out the application. And it takes some time for the city to approve it. And of course, once the project's actually fully completed, which may only be a week or two, we have to have the city and the utility inspections done to make sure it's a safe code compliant installation. So I think 2 months is kind of the minimum amount of time you can expect. And then if there's a rush, a doubling of people interested in doing solar, for example, then, you know, that can push you out to 3 or 4 months lead time.
As we heard, the commercial solar tax is still going to remain, I think, through 2027. What is the balance in your business between residential versus commercial solar?
It varies a little bit from year to year. This year, in terms of dollar volume, it was about 75% commercial. But in terms of actual labor and time, the smaller systems take a little bit more time for each unit of electric generation. So it was about 50% of our actual, you know, time spent on projects. And, you know, we're really committed to hanging on to all the incredible employees we have. So there's a little bit of a stress about, you know, how do maybe change our mix a little bit of work? Can we offer some kind of discount to help keep the demand going into next year? I feel a lot more confident now than I did maybe a 2 or 3 months ago when we first learned that the residential tax credits were going to be expiring this year.
What has made you more optimistic?
Well, I mean, at first you just kind of hear the news about the big, beautiful bill and the tax credits ending, and you think, well, there may be a much smaller market, but you also start to think about things like residential electric rates increasing 35% in the past 4 years. And, you know, while that was happening, our pricing was staying flat or even going down. And then also we're hearing in the news that AI and data centers are going to need all the electricity they can possibly get. And as that demand rises, solar can be deployed faster than just about any generation source and at a competitive price. So I think, you know, we've already have about 25 projects contracted for next year. So I think the market has responded much more positively than maybe I first expected. And we're also, just to make sure we have plenty of residential work for our employees, we're diversifying into heat pump water heaters and mini splits and EV chargers, these cutting edge technologies that sort of complement what we're already doing. And we're finding that a lot of our customers are really interested in employing these. And so they may be expanding their solar energy system to cover that electric vehicle charger or that heat pump water heater. And I'm just feeling like we're a lot more resilient than, you know, maybe we first felt when we learned about these changes.
Burke, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Burke O'Neill is managing partner of Full Spectrum Solar, based in Madison. Full disclosure, Full Spectrum is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. We also heard from Kathy Kuntz, director for Dane County's Office of Energy and Climate Change, about the upcoming end to federal clean energy tax credits and how it's affecting residents. Hey, have you been one of the people in a rush to get solar up on your house before those tax credits expire? What was it like? Were you able to get it done, or will you be able to get it done in time? Email your story to wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.